Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Okay, good afternoon. This is a Foodie Life radio show coming here at Pensacola Business Radio. I have three fantastic people in front of me, and I could not be in a better place right now, I'll tell you that. I got Tony. Say what's up.
What's going on?
Yeah, there you go. Tony, and then I got Renee, and I got Joe from, I mean, let's name them, dude. Hop Jacks, Tin Cows, Pot Roast and Pinot. What am I missing?
Edible Invaders. Palafox Wine Walk.
See,
the list goes on.
That's
and
why
on.
She's here, man.
Exactly.
Here.
Everything choice in Pensacola.
Keeps it straight.
So, you know, what we do here at Foodie Life is I like to share the back of the house, restaurant side of things, and some of those things that most of the general public don't really know. Some of those things they may not want to know, but all in all, it's what people like us sort of grew up doing and love so much. And obviously there's something to it, or none of us would have been as sick and demented and into
Absolutely.
That part of it as long as we have. So
it takes a special breed.
It really does. So, but we're here. So, and we're going to do this, share some stories while, Joe brought beer.
I'm not going to come to a party without
beer. I know,
beer.
Right? I mean, so, and then Tony brought salsa.
I call that keeping it classy.
Exactly.
And I've got to come with the party in your mouth.
Yeah.
That's a necessity.
So we got salsa and beer. So, Joe, tell me what we're going to drink, man. Because I woke up this morning with a horrible toothache because one of my fillings had fallen out. And then I went to the dentist because I thought they were going to fix it. And they were like, no, you're going to have to go have a root canal. So I am going to enjoy
You're
this
going
beer
to,
because it is going to take the pain away because I did not make it to a root canal today.
This high ABV will definitely be on your mark.
So what do you got, man? This is some cool looking stuff.
It really is. I mean, you know, the cool thing about beer these days is that it's so local. Everyone is local centric, and we brought five beers.
Yeah.
And the farthest one away is from Funky Buddha just outside of Miami. But it's like Alabama, Florida, Louisiana beers that are just awesome stuff.
I mean, and really cool cans.
Yeah,
really. And one really cool bottle.
Yeah, so Funky Buddha, we bought their sweet potato casserole strong ale. So it's kind of like their take on the pumpkin beer.
I was going to say, don't say pumpkin, dude.
It's not pumpkin. Exactly.
Yeah, it is not pumpkin.
But
amen.
It is sweet potato pie.
Which is better than pumpkin
exactly.
pie.
Exactly. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Truck Stop Honey out of Gadsden, Alabama.
Good folks up there.
Yep. Straight to Ale. It's got just probably the most ingenious cans I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They just really great juice.
That's memorable marketing right there.
Out of Huntsville. We've got 7th Street Wheat, which is one of my favorites from Nola Brewing in down on Chapultepec with on
Chapultepec.
Yeah, I always wondered.
Exactly. And they got a beer called Chapultepec. right. But they're just great, great people. They grow Thai lemon basil outside of their brewery.
Yeah.
And they throw it in the batch.
Nice.
And then these guys are brand new. Well, they're not brand new. They're brand new to canning is from Props. In Fort Walton Beach. I mean, they're just literally right down the street, but a bunch of military guys, and they do a lot with the military logoing, and I think a few of them are special forces in the group. So it's a really great people and great juice to go along top with it. So you know, that's the cool thing. So
well, that's perfect after Veterans Day. So
exactly.
Yeah, let's do that one first.
We're going to crack it open. This is for
let's celebrate.
Well, and we're actually really lucky because we have the guys from Props Brewing as well as from Aviator Brewing coming out tonight. You know, we thought it would be a little creative. You put the pilots in
That's
with
it,
some
man.
Of the airplanes. And, you know, we're going to have a paper airplane contest tonight. And we're rolling out some beer flights.
It's all
so
fun and games.
We're pretty excited about all of that.
All right, I'm ready. All right, look, so Tony, we can't have beer without salsa, man.
You
got to break it out.
Did you
bring the spicy stuff?
I brought the Caliente this
time.
Yeah. Senior logo.
That's all right.
There we go.
It's beer. It'll dry.
You know, I didn't.
It'll dry.
You know, I've seen your logos, and I've never been able to have your stuff, so I'm really excited. People talking about this stuff, I'm just, I'm ecstatic.
All good stories have a little buildup. There we go.
Yeah, let's refill the beer. Yeah, don't forget that part.
He is a class act.
All right, so, Joe, I got to find out, since we're trading stories of history here, well, how did you ever get into ever wanting this many beers in your life, dude? I mean, this is
years of drinking.
Years
this
of
is
drinking.
Beer confusion right here.
So here's I'll tell you the secret story that my friend helped me build the beer list. And when I opened Hopjacks, and we had 36 beers on draft, and people said, "You're crazy. You're never going to sell that much beer."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I didn't drink
beer. That's good, by the way.
I hated beer. I was like, I had drinking four beers in my life. Until, because I mean, my father's a great man, but he drinks horrible beer.
Wait. So what?
You not want to drink it.
What four were they?
Let's see.
Do you remember?
Michelob Original was.
Yeah.
I helped him build a greenhouse out of Heineken bottles. Nice. When I say a greenhouse, I mean a greenhouse.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So those were the beer. Those were the kind of beers.
Yeah.
There
was always Busch in my grandfather's fridge, yeah. And there was. Man, I wanted – it looked like Budweiser, but it wasn't Budweiser, and I can't remember the name. But it was like the generic Budweiser. But, man, it was there all the time.
Yeah.
And it's Coors Light.
Especially when we wanted to sneak it out of the fridge, it was there.
8 years old, cracked a Coors Light. Corrupting the youth.
So anyway, so 36 beers, so, that's just –
Yeah, 36 beers.
Too much.
The distributor said, you're never going to sell that much. We were actually – instrumental. We were the ones that just that taught them, say, hey, look, you're going to bring PBR in kegs this far, because when we opened up, PBR was not in the keg, at least in the area. And it really just, it kind of, we were at a great time because the proliferation of beer brewing,
right,
and the craft beer industry just went nuts right about the time we opened, 2008 2007. And I think the cool part about it is that I have what I call like a culinary ADD, which I can't keep my brain.
I think that's a product of being in the kitchen.
It is. But I really kind of have beer ADD. I don't really want to drink a whole beer. I just want to drink a little bit of a lot of beer. Yeah. So it's kind of selfish.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't want to listen to the whole song. I just want to hear the part that
exactly.
I like.
And then
we're skipping on to the next, right?
Yeah.
Give me the hook. Save it.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just great beer. And, you know, now we're at 112 beers on draft, and Nine Mile has 85 on draft.
You know what's funny too is I've been in, and this is not a bad thing in some establishments, people would think it is, but I've actually been in, and then you're out of beer. You're out of the beer that I want.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I'm thinking, this guy's got so much beer, how's he out of the one that I want?
But you and that other guy are drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
yeah, so. I'm big on trying a different beer every time I go.
I'm with you, man. Otherwise, I'll tell you what, this Blonde Bomber is awesome.
This Blonde Bomber is awesome. And like
nice
I said,
smooth.
Great people. Just really, really genuine people. I like to support those.
You know? And all local, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah. Those
close.
Yeah, they're all military. I think they're all military, but they've got a high military population of their ownership and their brewers, and they just do just awesome stuff.
I believe they're fighter pilots.
Are they?
Yeah. And so, I mean, we love our local breweries. They show a lot of support for us. We're actually having a drink with the locals night coming up. It's going to be the next gallery night, November 20th at 7 o'clock. And we have some of, you know, the greatest local ones. We have Oyster City, Props Brewing, Fairhope, Grayton, Pensacola Bay Brewery. And so all these brewers are going to be there at Hopjacks to hang out, answer your questions. They're going to bring beers that haven't been released to the public yet and get your opinion before they go out to everyone else.
And
we're really excited about
that. And the cool thing about these guys is, you know, some of them are real good friends of mine. Pensacola Bay is great. I would have brought them, but I didn't have any growlers ready. But they have they're such great people.
Yeah.
And they make rock star beer, and they are just as humble.
They're just guys
cool.
That just want to drink beer.
They just want to drink beer.
Good beer. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, Renee, which one's your favorite? Do you like the Blonde Bomber?
Oh, it's great. I'm excited for us to open
it. You work there. She's back there tapping the taps.
You know what's actually bad, Keith, is that when I first started, it probably was my first month working for Joe. I love Sea Dog Blue Paw. It's actually been renamed Sea Dog Blueberry, but I've been drinking it since back when it was Sea Dog Blue Paw. It was my first legal beer as a 21-year-old, and I've always loved Hopjacks for carrying it.
And by legal, she means if she got caught, it was okay.
Exactly. Exactly. I didn't claim to not drink illegally, but my first legal beer. And so for the first month, I probably was drinking Sea Dog Blue Paw every time that Joe saw me in the restaurant. And so fortunately, my boss is a little bit persuasive, and so I've expanded my horizon.
I was going to say,
she drinks all the strawberry beers now and the grapefruit beers.
You like the fruit stuff?
Yeah.
It's quality control.
I think I could do like five sips of blueberry stuff.
Yeah, you can't do too much of the sweet stuff. It's great initially, and then halfway through the beer, you're like, ah.
I'll tell you what, there was a time, and there may still be a time, but you got caught drinking some of that stuff in the kitchen, you got your butt kicked.
It just wasn't normal.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky in the fact that, you know, there's not very many girls in our office. There's Joe's gorgeous girlfriend, Amy, is in the office with me, but other than that, we're the girls, and so these guys talk about this new beer all day, every day. And so, you know, I'm hearing about Chuck Lobster beer that's made.
Yeah,
with
that's like the fourth time I've heard that this week.
It's nuts. And then, you know, they're like, well, we have a peanut butter and jelly beer, and we have this. And so, like, wow. Reese's peanut butter cup beer. Okay, you cannot tell a girl there's a Reese's peanut butter cup beer.
That's true.
I'm not going to go down
keep
and drink it.
Out of reach of children.
Yes, yes. That is my Halloween treat.
Nice. All right, Tony, is this the hot stuff?
This is
awesome.
It's good,
thank
isn't
you,
it?
Thank you.
This is awesome.
And it truly is a part in your mouth because it dances on your tongue.
That's it.
Telling you. I thought he gave it to us in little cups. I thought we were doing shots to go with our beer.
You know what? Hey, we could. We might as well. I'm with you.
Let's go. Here we go.
Keith, I feel like you need a picture of that.
Hot salsa. Good time. Salud.
Now you're going to have to take two. I didn't get a picture.
That's so good.
It is so good. You can take a shot of it. Yeah.
You know, when you can drink it, that says loads.
All right, so this—that's how Tony got started. He started drinking beer, and he said, "You know what? I need something to go with this."
Man,
and so
dude, salty and spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Get out!
And what's amazing is it's extremely low in sodium. You get all of that flavor from all the different veggies mm-hmm. in there. Oh, and, you know, I keep on
sure beats paste. Don't
how long have you been doing this, man?
I've been making this salsa for 10 years. I launched my company about 18 months ago. I've been in restaurants all my life. Pizza.
Tony left while he still had some sanity, too.
Yeah, it was time to walk away.
Joe still thinks
different.
He's got a couple more years.
Oh,
we're going to let him ride.
His sanity's fleeting.
He's on the better end of it all. But I remember being a dishwasher, you know, Friday nights, busting suds.
That one's good, too.
All through high school. But
What's the worst job you ever had in a restaurant? And I know most people would think it's dishwasher, but trust me, that's sometimes the best job. You don't have to think. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can just wash some dishes, clean up your area, and go home.
Look, this was dirty. I made it clean.
I made it clean. I'm done. I did my job.
Bye. Making 100 pizzas every Friday morning.
Yeah, the monotonous.
That goes
400
back
of the same shape canapes.
Things.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's fun when you're being creative. That's what's wonderful about food and restaurants. But when you're doing, you know, the job a machine could do, it's just like, please shoot me.
Yeah, man.
That's why I made 3 flavors of salsa.
I don't want to do that anymore.
Jeff, what was your worst job, Jeff, do you think?
This is pretty bad. Like, it was a prep job. It was in Pensacola. The restaurant is no longer here.
Tell me it was Boy on a Dolphin.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't work there. It was a pasta place, Semolina.
Oh, yeah. I remember that place, man.
They took a strip club and turned it into a restaurant.
there was
a stage.
It was really weird.
I love it.
But I was a prep job there, and every day I had to cut 75 pounds of onions.
Oh,
and
really?
Everybody says, oh, light a match, put them in the water, do everything. The only thing that worked was goggles. So I'm in the back prepping with swimming goggles on. That was fine. It was all right. Or if the reason to this day I don't eat chicken.
Yeah,
I mean I will eat it, but I it's my last protein on my list. I would have to cut 2 cases of chicken.
Yeah,
and it was
slimy,
a boneless,
slippery,
and it had that stuff that's in
the chicken blood.
It's not the blood. It's the ooze. It's the protein liquid. You know,
the ooze,
and it getting your hair. And I remember going to sleep after scrubbing my arm, scrubbing everything. And I would roll over at night, and I put my hand over my face, and I'm like, "Gosh, still smells chickens." I'm sleeping like this. It's just,
yes,
it was horrible.
So my worst one was sort of like that, but it was with squid. It was also like
thanks
probably
for
like,
up in me, man.
I think it was like my third actual like different position. So because I started dishwasher, then I did line cook, and then I went back to prep cook, and same thing like. Just cleaning so many of them, and then you had to get the beak out and the ink sac, and You know, this was back in the day before it came, you know, really prefabricated in the frozen block. So it was,
I cleaned a couple. I mean, I cleaned, you know, 20 at a time. But.
Oh, my hands would break out and stuff from all the salt in the water.
Try seasoning chicken.
Oh, no.
I was a chicken seasoner.
Yeah.
Where
you got to, like,
Popeye.
Toss it all up with the Lowry's.
When I went in
stuff.
The first time, you know, like, not having a clue, no one told me. So I'm in there with the spicy. I'm in there, you know, seasoning up.
Yeah.
I get off, and my hands just light on
crushed
fire.
Up. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, just the heat, the amount of spice.
The cayenne and the spices and stuff. Yeah.
We did that at, I was at Jubilee's topside for years ago.
Yeah.
And
they're open again, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Great stuff.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
I've heard. I haven't been there yet.
But yeah, I did the same thing with Lobster Fest. I would come home. I couldn't move my hands. Like, I had to wear plastic gloves with Vaseline in them.
Yeah.
just trying to keep them from cracking.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not a good day to go try to pick up chicks or anything either.
And we
how weird does that feel?
Yeah. This guy smells like garlic and old chicken. Bay. and we chose to do this. We chose to stay in this industry, man.
Some things got better, and then some things were just. I think the thing that kind of kept me going is you're like, okay, well, what am I going to see today? Right. Like, what's coming next? Renee's shaking her head. So, yeah. All right. So, well, I know you guys have seen some crazy stuff. I mean, you've got enough establishments and something that stay open late enough with enough alcohol behind the bar. Something has had to have happened.
We see crazy things all the time. And I mean, I'm sure it's not our group only. I've been working in the restaurant industry since I was 14.
Yeah, it's a plague.
Yeah.
it's everybody.
Well, it seems like your friends really love to, you know, grab a drink with you and hear these stories. Sometimes it's like, if only you could live it. So I have just a couple funny experiences that we've faced in the last 6 months.
She's aged quite a bit.
Yes, I think I'm the oldest 25-year-old you'll ever meet. So, you know, our office is above Hop Jack's, and oftentimes, you know, we go down there to go just check on the restaurant. If you're really craving a soda, we get that hookup on the soda machine. So I go down there, and our bartender and our server are just completely puzzled. And I'm like, what happened? They're like, well, we had this customer come in, and he was drinking beer out on the patio. And when we brought him his bill, he said he doesn't pay here. And we're like, what do you mean you don't pay here? And he's like, oh, no, I'm the owner. And the bartender laughs because, I mean – Joe Abson, you can't confuse
sure.
him. He
certainly wasn't the old guy.
I'm not a 65-year-old guy with a beard.
That may or may not be homeless. So he's like, trust me, I know the owner. You're not the owner.
Awesome.
So he gets a piece of paper and a pen. And in his bill, rather than paying his bill, he writes, notice, I am Jay Booker and I do not pay here. This is my place. Please post this to inform all staff. Keep up the good work. Play, have fun, keep all TVs tuned to Cartoon Network. Your friend in beer and rock and roll, Jay, heart number 01776767. Like, what the heck is this? We were like, is this a social security number?
Awesome.
No. Is it a prison number? That's the closest we can come up with is it's an inmate number.
Has he come back since?
No, I think he sent some of his friends because we've had the same issue a couple times, but nothing as loving
awesome.
As this letter encouraging us to watch Cartoon Network.
Awesome. And that everybody was doing a good job.
Yeah,
you never tell them that too much.
Yeah, you never tell them that
never
too much.
Never say that too much.
Whoever it comes from, you know?
Dude, that's too cool.
Yeah.
So did you should frame it, right? Frame it, put it up?
It's up on the wall.
Is it? Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have some other things that, you know, gain their way on the wall. You know, being... In marketing, reviews can either be the highlight of your day or the worst part of your day. I mean, of course, I like to hear them. I always like to hear, you know, how we can improve, how we can do better. But, you know, it does seem like it takes a little bit harder or it's not as much of a thing for people to go on and write good reviews.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite reviews is one that we got just a couple months back. Again, it was a Hop Jack's one. I just want to say I love all of our customers, but our Hop Jack's customers, they crack me up. So,
they tend to have a little bit more life in them. Is that what it is, you think?
Oh, yeah. Or more beer.
Yeah.
More
beer. I think it's the beer. But so one of our reviews was pizza was on point. Ordered the white pizza, and it was cooked perfectly with about 7 to 10 garlic cloves on each slice. The flavor wasn't overwhelming, and I couldn't stop scarfing the pizza down. About 3 hours later, I had a consistent stretch of stale garlic farts that could have made a rat. Someone I was with referred to it as constant bologna cloud. This lasted well into the next day and put some strain on my existing relationships.
Fantastic.
But again, well worth it.
Wow. And so thanks for leaving that on our website for everyone else to read.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Tony, what was that second salsa that just came around?
Now, the second is the original. That's the people's champ. That's the one that...
Right, dude, that's the one my girl was like, oh my God, you got to call Tony. We there's none left.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out.
The Caliente was... It's spicy enough to make me slow down. The other one, it does not.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the one they call salsa crack.
We had one of the... Where's the quart? We had one of the big quart containers.
Yeah.
And it sat in the fridge for a couple of days because she didn't notice it was there. And then I was like, you know, I saw Tony the other day, and there's some salsa in there. Dude, I came home that night, gone.
Gone. I couldn't believe it. When you posted it, I was like, oh, my God.
I mean, I helped her a little bit.
At least
but not that much.
A bit. I always tell people out there when they go to get the half pint size, mm-hmm. I'm like, I call this the home wrecker.
Yeah.
A woman has stabbed her husband for eating the last of this.
Uh-huh.
Get the bigger size because you're going to blow
through. Because you're going to need it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not the junk in a jar.
Well, let me just tell you how addictive it got. We were eating. I was going to say she, but let's just face it. I jumped into it.
Okay. There we go.
We were looking for the chip. We didn't care if it was Frito, Ruffle, Tortilla,
found
Cheeto.
Something
I didn't. If it was a vessel, it was covered in salsa, man, and gone. So
the chips out of your.
Yeah, I was digging in the couch and everything.
Couch, yeah, they're all
gone. Cool.
Yeah,
but you know, I always tell people like, oh, I like salsa, but I can't eat chips. I'm like, get you a slice of cucumber.
Yeah.
Take a shot like we did. That was amazing.
Man up.
I never let anyone take a salsa shot by themselves.
Yeah, there you go.
Is it bad that, like, I'm a raw oyster lover, and I feel like I always put horseradish and the Tabasco to give it that kick that I need? I feel like that hot sauce alone could
probably
that.
Do it, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be on fire.
You add that to an oyster's Bienville or Rockefeller's, and you got you something special.
I think I eat the oysters just to have the hot sauce and horseradish.
Right?
Yeah, I think the oyster's sort of second-guessed at that point.
I go the other way. I like my oysters just as naked as they can get, but then I want that and my Bloody Mary going with it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. Cafe 615 back in Mobile, they put it on the
nice
Bloody
guys.
Mary bar, and it's a hit. I did it by mistake one day. I was like, dropped a little.
You're like, I got nothing else. I'm going to touch some salsa in there. So,
well,
it works too.
More I've been doing this, the more stuff I use it for, it is just like limitless. It's a great pizza sauce. Speaking of, you add a little olive oil and use it as a base. Phenomenal. It's totally different than anything else out there on the market. And that's why people are falling in love with it. And,
did you realize you were going to be known for salsa? You were going to be the salsa guy?
Not a clue.
He's the salsa party in your mouth guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it works.
The strange guy with the salsa that walks up on you and says, hey, do you like salsa?
You like salsa?
And
all right. What's that third one? That's the honey one?
That was the honey brown. That's the truck stop honey.
Let's do it.
From Gadsden, Alabama. Like I said, great guy.
This is a problem. I have not had a bad beer yet, and it is 2:30.
And the beer just keeps on coming.
I know. I'm still waiting for that sweet potato. Like that's looking.
Yeah, I think we're
off in third gear.
You gotta have. You gotta have safe dessert for last.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Man, you know what would be really cool is take that and freeze it into some ice cubes. Drop that in your Bloody Mary.
There you go.
Oh, no.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That one might be going
I
on
just
the
sold
website.
You a great idea,
oh,
didn't
yeah.
I?
You're all over that.
I take one even better. Use that as the rocks to drink your vodka on the rocks.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Just a tomato rock.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
I don't think any of us here are foodies.
No,
I mean, clearly not. We're like, here we are imagining, like, yes,
what
you can
do
this
with
ice cubes.
Yeah. So it took me forever to kind of convince my parents growing up. My mom probably more than my dad that this really was art. It really was art to cook and do all that. When I said to my dad, he was like, all right, cool. We finally found something to do. He was like, all right, we got a goal now. So, but, and it took me a year. And even now, sometimes you got to convince people, you know, And I guess the foodie stuff and the chef stuff sort of blown up in the last 10 years. But
it's come
before
along.
That, man, there was not much respect for what we did.
Are you kidding me? We found out that we were the
food
same.
Food service people.
Exactly. Yeah. We found out we went to the same culinary school in Johnston, Wales, in Charleston.
Yeah.
And
which was a great foodie and restaurant town. Oh, but even awesome. There, dude, it was get back behind the door.
Get behind the door. It'll be what do you mean celebrity chef? You're not Paul Perdome. So it was two of them.
Yeah. You know? That was it. I remember my instructors telling me, you guys all think you're going to be famous. You just need to learn how to cook good.
Yeah.
Talk about breaking
you
down.
I thought I wanted to be an engineer is what I went into it and realized cubicle was not for me.
Yeah.
I needed the heat of the kitchen, the smell of the food and the people.
Yeah. People yelling and screaming and
it's a good time.
Cussing and fighting and
then you go out afterwards and have all
everybody
nighter.
Gets along.
You know,
we're all
everybody smells like food.
Oh, that was my favorite compliment when I worked at Dreamland Barbecue. I would go to the bank in the morning. They'd be like, "Oh my God,
you smell so good!"
I'm like, "Yeah,
I can't
barbecue
smell it
pig
anymore.
Behind is not what I was thinking of when I woke up this morning smelling good."
It's hard to pick up, you know, go to a bar after work and you smell like, you know, barbecue or garlic or whatever. You just never know the kind of person you're going to attract.
Usually, that's people that like food.
So speaking of barbecue stuff, I've got my partner in crime who I'm competing with this weekend is. Started this morning, like rubbing down all the Boston butts and smoking everything for Egg Fest on Saturday. So
I hate I won't be here for that.
You know? It's a great event. Really is a great event.
I know.
Egg Fest.
Joe's cooking for it tonight.
Yeah, we're doing
does everybody know what you're doing? Or are we going to give the secret
away?
No,
I mean, I think it kind of got out. Eggs are so awesome. And I've had I had cookies off the egg.
Yeah.
You know,
wow. Pizza.
All kinds of stuff. So I'm like, what really can you cool not oven. Cook on the egg? Oh, a pig. An entire pig. So we're going to do like a luau.
Yeah, visit Joe and you might get laid tonight.
Thanks, Renee.
No, he's going to have a great luau.
The business. Yeah. All right, what's this
okay,
one,
yep. I was trying to warn you about that one. So that is monkey knot, not straight to ale.
Straight ghetto
yes, straight
ale.
To ale. Mm-hmm. Monkey's uncle. So it's a double IPA.
Oh, wow.
So it's
all right, so that's the... that's that bitter beer face we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll have to tell you, though, that doesn't taste as bad, probably because we've had it behind the other two.
Yeah, and it's also a double. So it's kind of misleading. Everybody says, oh, it's a double IPA. I'm not going to like that because I don't like IPAs. Well, it kind of...
It chills it out a little
bit,
It does.
Huh? It's like you're going... It's almost like two positives make a negative. Yeah. You know, two negatives make a positive.
Yeah, because I don't do single IPAs. I can't. Yeah, my head off my shoulders.
Yeah, but I think this one's like, I don't know, something up there like
drink wisely.
Drink enough of it, it won't matter.
Yeah. Drink wisely and grab another bag of chips your
chips
salsa.
And salsa to soak that up.
That's it, man. So, Tony, would you come in Saturday? You going to come do the Egg Fest, man, or what?
I will be in Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, that's right. You're going to do Tony's launching in Whole Foods, aren't
you?
Yeah,
the Whole Foods.
That's huge.
So I'll be up there for that, and I definitely will be missing the Egg Fest.
Talk to me about that process, because that's a process, isn't it?
It is very long.
This has been like months in the making, hasn't it?
Yes. I talked to them back in May.
Yeah.
When I first started the conversation and been waiting for the one in Mobile to open up and all the hoops you jump through and – all the liability insurance.
Yeah.
And
things that make you quite, you're like, well, do I really want to
really
do all this work?
I'll tell you what, I have learned that food processing is a little different than a restaurant.
Yeah absolutely.
To
much
say
different.
The least. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of
Googling.
Yes, a lot of educating. And it takes real branding.
Yeah.
You know, usually with restaurants, the food is the brand.
Yeah.
You know, it's
or the theme.
Right, or the theme. Yeah. With this, you really have to find a niche because it's already what you have on the shelf.
There's a million salsas out there. Right. Why are they choosing Tony's?
I say it all the time. You know, I started at the farmer's market. Everybody's got salsa at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
But there's only one world's best salsa. And the way it was engineered is totally different than everyone else's. You know, it's not made of the cheapest stuff you can find is the highest quality stuff.
I think the coolest thing was is that you found it in the produce in the fridge. That's huge to me.
That sauce is supposed to be fresh.
Yeah, I know.
It's not supposed to be...
Before you opened it.
Yeah. Right. It's not supposed to be jarred.
Yeah.
That's just something people do so they don't have to maintain their product.
All right.
Where I decided, you know what? Hey, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to make it taste just like it did when I was growing up and a kid, you know, in Houston with fresh salsa at Mexican restaurants.
Yeah.
That's where I fell in love.
All day long, huh?
And... that's what you get right here. I love when Texans try it because they're like, oh, my God, it's like a slice of home.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's
better
all about.
Better than grandma used to make.
Yeah. And that's the
you're starting fights, man.
And you know, it really, I'll be honest, it doesn't look like it came out of this massive production facility out in, you know, Wyoming or some, you know, this massive thing. Because it really looks like, it looks like it's
whole,
a professional like, homemade.
Yeah.
Like it just, it looks like it's going to be a quality product. And then you get the juice and it's awesome.
The part in your mouth says it all. I mean, it's a premium homemade sauce, and there is no other premium homemade sauce on the market. Because as I started looking into getting it packaged, people don't make this product.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, we don't use those ingredients.
You know what, though? I think that happens, though. I mean, I think when you get into this kind of business, you go, there's only two ways to go.
Yep.
You either go, I'm just going to do the job, and we're going to crack everything out of a can or a box.
Yep.
Or you go for the art way of just for what the food is and the ingredient and the flavors, you know. And
I'm a cook. I come from a long line of cooks. You know, my grandmother ran a cafeteria. My dad was a restaurant manager. Like I said, I've been working in restaurants since I was 13. I'm not going to give an inferior product to anyone and put my name on it. I've been looking at the competition. I'm like, really? Start your salsa out of a can. Yeah.
You know what I just thought too, man? I wish you guys had brought some of that crack sauce. I know you probably don't hear that enough.
Right.
And for those that don't know,
please bring some crack
sauce with garlic and love. It is not crack.
Yeah.
Because as the menu says, that would just be too expensive.
But can't control the food cost on the crack.
I could totally dip a chip in the salsa and some crack sauce and be
that
just
would
fine,
be a good
so.
Pairing right there.
Ooh.
You know.
It's that's a sauce we've been dragging around for a long time.
Oh my God, it's awesome.
And
it goes on anything.
It does. And there's 9 ingredients, 10 ingredients, something like that. And 2 of them are salt and pepper. It's meant to be just a good product, you know, a good homemade product. And we've got people that are, you know, wanting to make it on a big production scale.
And bottle it and everything. And they just can't get it.
And I'm like, it's only 9 ingredients. I gave you the recipe. How are you messing
well,
this
yeah,
up?
Well, yeah, because they're trying to put all that crap
they're putting
in it,
all
man.
This stuff mm-hmm. in it. Yeah, it's
all like, that shelf stability.
I don't want it shelf stable. I want an expiration
poison.
Date.
Yeah.
So we've kind of put that on the back burner. I mean, you know, people love the crack sauce. You can always, more than welcome, come visit us. We've got crack sauce loaded up for you. But in the meantime, Joe's
come
kind
get
of.
Some crack.
Right? Come get your crack at Hop Chat. new headline in the paper tomorrow.
Yeah.
No,
I thought I've had funny t-shirts before.
that one might actually sell, right?
But I think that Joe's kind of put that on hold and focused more of our efforts on Edible Invaders. That's something that I think that we have a lot more control over, the consistency, and, you know, we're kind of following in Tony's steps.
I'm really excited. This is such a cool – I mean, it's the first time I met Tony. But this is such a cool side-by-side of, you know, somebody who's going where we want to go. So going into, you know, fresh market, Whole Foods and you know, the whole
But market. But what's Edible Invaders? Because this is new.
So it is, and it's a
because you don't have enough going on, first of all.
Right?
It's self-imposed chaos.
Yes, it really is.
Too much crack sauce.
I was just about to say it.
It's, you know, there's a great team of people that we're working with on this, but we're taking invasive species and turning them into end consumer products. So of course around here the number one is a lionfish. We said, okay, let's hit this one first. I've been a diver for 20 something years. I've been a diver longer than I've been in the restaurants.
Yeah.
So I said, how do we do this? Because these lionfish,
how do I get rid of those horrible prickly things that kill everything and actually get something edible off of this?
Absolutely. And the problem with them is they're so bony that for a restaurant to get a fillet, they've got to be like 8, 10 inches.
That's probably the whole thing like a mullet.
Exactly. So we actually kind of went it a little different. And we go after – we're able to process fish that are 3 inches or bigger.
Yeah.
So we we tell our divers, you know, kill everything, clear the reef. You know, yeah. we'll take them.
Yeah.
So it's really about, you know, clearing those reefs and turning it into an end consumer product. We're going the restaurant route. So mm-hmm. we just got picked up by, we're in the process of getting picked up by Maria's Seafood mm-hmm. to be distributed through right. their restaurants and other restaurants. But we're going on the 5 pound scales. To get these things out of here.
It's available at Ore House, Pot Roast and Pinot, the Tin Cow, Hop Jacks, and there's quite a few other yeah. chefs that have been having the samplings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out, they want to take the Edible Invaders dip and incorporate it into their dishes. So that's cool. Really exciting because, you know, everyone at this table loves the creativity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can't wait to see what they yeah. come up with.
Well, and you know what? It's funny too, because my dad came down here not too long ago and he saw the big sign from the festival, I guess we had yeah. was over the spring and summer. Yeah. And he was like, a lionfish festival. And he was like, is that a real thing? And I was like, not only is it a real thing, but there are so freaking many of them that they've like hired to kill.
Yeah.
Because there's no, you know, so nobody really understood that this was not a natural, you know,
it's crazy.
Predator here.
Yeah. I heard the statistic. I don't know how accurate it is. Don't quote me on it. But it was something like in 25 or 30 years, if this fish isn't controlled, this will be the only fish we have in
right.
the Gulf.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, it's crazy. But, you know, like I said, we kind of attack it a different way. We go after the small fish, the big fish. We don't care. Bring them all.
Yeah.
25% of our proceeds go back to reef restoration and reef builds in the local
That's
area.
Cool, man.
So yeah. It's like every bite you're doing twice as good.
Right.
You
know? That's
so
awesome.
Okay. So you made a dip with it?
So we made a dip with it. It's a slightly smoky. It's not a smoked product.
Right.
We'll use a little smoked peppers in it. But it's just a great – it's a little spicy, a little tangy. Yep. But it's a good base ingredient. We serve it as a dip. Imagine like a tuna dip.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Think of a tuna
yeah.
dip.
Right.
But it's something that you need to eat. It's something you're helping get rid of something. Yeah.
And it doesn't taste bad either. I mean, surprisingly enough, when you do get the meat off of the fish, it's really good.
Yeah, one bite of that is really great.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it's cool because, you know, it doesn't go well just on crackers or, I mean, toast points. I mean, there's a lot of gluten-free
you
people.
Stuff some grouper with it.
I'm sure you guys know, though, that the gluten-free thing has been totally a thing to us in the restaurant business.
Yeah. What did that
you know?
Start
Everyone's
exactly.
gluten-free.
When GMO became okay,
there was a gluten issue.
That's yeah. a whole other radio show.
I
probably.
Know. Right, I'm not right. touching that. Yeah, I know we might offend a few people. I totally understand people yeah. with celiac. Of course, I think
sure.
the percentage of that versus how many people are gluten free is a little different. But yeah. what's great about Edible Invaders is it is a gluten free product. You can, you know, it goes great with celery and like you were mm-hmm. saying with your salsa with the cucumbers. I mean, there are alternatives yeah. other than yeah. crackers.
We have people
and
making
chips.
Sandwiches out of it.
Yeah,
you know, imagine like a tuna. Melt.
Right.
So, oh, dude, it makes it crab cake style. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, make like a so invader
intrigued.
Cake.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
He made a ceviche with, like, on top, like a little dollop and a little scoop. Oh, my gosh. It was so
good. It was
good.
A lionfish ceviche we did with fruits and vinegar Yum. And lime juice and then topped it with a little dollop of this dip. And it's like, it's just complements well.
Yeah.
And then wow. paired it with one of the 250 wines at Pot Roast Casino. So I don't know if that made
Renee,
the ceviche awesome.
I don't know
or...
if you checked your email lately, but we're over 300.
Yeah.
We're over 300 wines.
Oh, okay.
Catch up.
Yeah, exactly.
So honestly, do you get any more time to just kind of sit back and chill and create?
I
mean,
do.
Do either of you get any more time?
No. I've got 12 different products that I'm trying to develop, and I just don't have the time to really put the passion
That's
into
kind
it.
Of the downside to some of this stuff, isn't it? Because, I mean, that's what got us into it in the first place.
You know, I work for a master chef that Lawrence McFadden, great guy at the Ritz-Carlton, and he said, you know, the better you get at something, the less you're going to do of it.
Mm. That's true, man.
It was really just – that's the thing. You got a hold of that sweet potato
good,
beer.
Dude. All right, so I just had to, I'm sorry, I got to totally interrupt you. I just had, what was that? Okay, that's the Buddha.
That's the funky Buddha
sweet potato
casserole.
Not
better
too
than
sweet.
Pumpkin ever could.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is not pumpkin.
No, it's better than pumpkin could ever be.
I
tell you what, it's the truth, though, too, man, because in the last, well, whatever, when I switched to healthcare, I stopped cooking and really was just managing more and really just being sort of culinary assistance to all these other facilities.
Yeah.
And like maybe a board meeting once a month or maybe some special function or
stuff that we're not designed for.
Yeah. Or when things just were really not going well, that you sort of had to jump in, man. But that sort of that time where you could just walk into the cooler and kind of look around, see what am I going to make today? What am I going to make today? Oh, so now I do it. at my friends' houses and at home.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they're like, tell Keith to come over. We don't know what's for dinner, but I bet he can figure. I bet he can find something in this fridge and something in this pantry.
And they do the cleaning, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh my gosh, Joe does the same thing.
I'm serious. Yeah, that's awesome.
Call me over. We'll find something to cook, and then you guys can clean up.
Yeah.
And I am not a clean chef.
he likes to rub it in my face all the time. He's like, you know, I have a kitchen with a dishwasher.
Yeah.
And it's not a dishwasher like yours. It's somebody who actually washes the dishes. Like, thanks for the constant reminder.
Well, I think that's it. Like, I can keep my area clean, my knives, cutting board, all that good stuff, man. But
just don't look behind me.
Dude, the pans, they're going to get dirty. And there's going to be a whole lot of them.
You know, what's funny is I rolled out a new menu at the Ten Cal downtown yesterday.
Yeah.
And
well, that's always fun.
Yeah.
And yet you're still sitting here, so it must not have been that bad.
It was a small menu change. It really wasn't a huge revamp. But the dishwasher, great guy, came up to me and goes, Joe, you dirtied every
dish in the kitchen.
I cleaned dishes I haven't seen before.
It's like, creative genius happens.
You know it's good.
Yeah, that's it, man.
But I tell you, the way I do is I schedule it now. It's like, okay, I've got to spend time just working on this
new concepts,
you know, or whatever it is, you know, thinking about something on the menu item. Since we don't have the time to run in the kitchen, you know, I'll do it between the rush or, you know, when I come in or whatever. It's scheduling it.
What do you think, if you do get time to play, what do you think's next?
Well, actually, what I did the other night was did a meatball recipe with the salsa. Call them Tony Tejas Bama Balls. And
you put them in your mouth. Not gonna go there.
You knew that was coming.
You got to get some great t-shirts. I've got we heart HJs on our some of our t-shirts, and that's a little racy for me. But come on, man, you gotta get those.
Those are about to be limited edition. Get them while you can,
right?
Because they're going to be retired.
You know, this would be awesome in a bolognese or. You know, do kind of that twist on Southwest.
Sort of that caliente Italian pasta kind of thing. Yeah.
I just want to buy the Bloody Mary mix. Like, I'm ready for you to go full force.
It's right here in front of you.
I was going to say. You know,
that's it.
30 seconds in a blender and it's
done.
Really, it's just that vodka. I don't even think you need the blender.
I don't need the blender, man.
I know. We could take shots of this all day.
Man.
But they're delicious. It's a nice tailgating dish.
Yeah.
Something that's real easy. That's my.
So what you took the ground beef, you threw the salsa in, anything else, or just that's it?
Ground beef, a little breadcrumb.
Yeah.
Make your balls, cook them up, and then I cooked the salsa down with a little honey, a little mustard, onions, bell pepper, and pineapple, and reduce it down and then throw the balls into there.
Yeah.
And it's savory. It's slightly sweet.
A little potato
spicy.
Bread or something, man.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. it was fresh French bread I got, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good stuff.
This is almost like a sopping kind of thing.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm all about the sopping. I'm from Alabama, so, you know, we like to sop stuff up.
That's right. There is no sauce left in or gravy left on that plate.
And what's weird is if you go north of the Mason-Dixon line, sop doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Soda.
Neither does soda. Yeah, it's pop and Shasta. What's that? You know?
No clue.
So what do you got you do? Well, I mean, okay, so if you're scheduling it, what's the last thing you do? What's the thing that caused you to dirty all the dishes in the kitchen?
You know, it's really
that is so good.
One of the cool things about I get to do is we cook with a lot of friends, and you know it'll be on like a Tuesday night, and we don't get there till 10 o'clock. You know,
because
everybody's crazy, and you know sometimes they're restaurant friends or just you know good music friends of ours, and we literally will say, all right, what do you want to cook this week? What do you, you know? So it's part cooking class, part. You know,
experimentation part, just cutting loose.
Yeah,
and
it's just
drinking a couple beers and kicking back.
Yeah, that's really how we kind of have our fun.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that's what attracts people to the food industry is it's fun.
Mm.
It's a good time. It's camaraderie, and the what I like the most is to see people enjoy what you make.
Yep.
Yeah,
to see them just melt while they're eating something. It's like, yeah, that was worth all the hours it took to
make
this
That's why we do this.
Yeah. At least that's what we keep telling ourselves. But you're right, though. I mean, I've got some good tight friends. I mean, I'd call them to move a body. You know what I mean? And they'd be like, okay, all where right. are we going? You know, because it's the tight quarters. It's hot. It's stressful. And then when you're done, you're right. You get to go out and kick it.
Yeah.
You know?
Actually, most of my friends I've met at work.
Yeah.
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 And we're, you know,
that's a, let me tell
you. That is an intense bonding experience, man.
But let's be honest, when you're working 90, 115 hours a week,
they're the only friends you got.
That's all the people you see.
That's true, man. That is so true.
And that's why you hate their face at the end of the show.
Exactly. I'm like, you are annoying me. Let's go get a beer.
There's nothing a beer or two can take care
there
of.
There it is.
You know? So, all right, Renee, I gotta ask, what is the picture in front of you right now?
I've been waiting on this.
Okay. So,
my two favorite things.
So, when I was new to the company, Joe wanted me to understand what $3 holla was.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't know what $3 holla is. Well, on Tuesday nights at Hop Jack's, you can go get pretty much Crown and Down for $3. And everyone comes out for it. Hadn't been to one before. They're like, you know, we're going to make sure you're not driving. You're going to be safe. You're going to go to $3 holla. So we're there. We're hanging out. I'm like, oh my gosh, this place is crazy. Everyone comes out for $3 holla. Wow. And especially the one on 9 Mile. I guess that's the cool one to go to. See, it was my initiation.
Sure.
So we order a pizza, you know, to kind of go along with those $3 drinks. And this table next to us is like, look, we're about to go to the strip club, and we want to go feed the strippers. Will you give us a pizza for us to go feed the strippers?
Make the world a better place. Like, feed the stripper.
You know, most of the time you would think, right, these people are totally just fooling us for a free pizza. And they're like, no, I swear to you, we are going to go to the strip club. We are going to tell them that this is a Hop Jack's pizza, and we are going to feed the strippers. Like, you know what? Forget it. I'm a marketing person, you know. Hey, if they want to go share my pizza, I'm going to let you go share my pizza. Well, as a thank you and as proof, they sent us this picture of this lovely female in what I would consider bathing suit attire or so.
Yeah,
eating.
A very small bathing suit.
Yeah, well, a very,
very
small bathing
suit.
With a very large piece of pizza. It looks like she really enjoyed it. So
Who doesn't enjoy Hop Jack's pizza?
I know, seriously.
I don't think that it was something that was approved for social media.
Yeah,
they
couldn't have put that one out there.
However, we were very appreciative that our fans wanted to go market for us at the strip club.
Yeah.
I have paid a debt in salsa in a strip club.
You're like,
you know,
I don't have those ones, but I have my Tony Tejas.
Save that one, dude.
Yeah,
save
you need that one.
Save that one. That's a good story. That needs to go in the book, Tony.
I got you. No worries. I'm full of them.
I kind of want to hear a little bit more about why Joe has expanded the rule from, you know, it's not just the typical no shoes, no shirt, no service. He had to add no pants.
Yeah, we do really? Have not no pants. We have the five rules of Hop Jack's that I can't say on
sure.
On the
but I know them.
If you don't want it broken, stolen, set on fire, don't bring it to Hop Jack's. That's kind of the rules. But
which sort of sets the tone for your evening,
right?
But we had this, I'll call him John because he's got a very specific name. I've only met two with this name ever. And he was great, great cook, nice guy, you know, really cool. And he would get off and he'd come back and drink. And that's kind of normal for us. I mean, people get off work and have a beer.
And remember, the only friends you have are still working.
Exactly, Talking to him through the window. But I would have to tell him, look, John, I know you're not on the clock, but if you don't keep taking your pants off, you cannot work here. Like, I'm going to have to fire you. And he would, more than one occasion, not just a little bit naked, but a lot of bit naked, streaking straight through.
Right through your establishment,
huh? Holding only, you know, he was using his hand as a fig leaf. And that was it.
Yeah.
So
adventures in Wonderland, huh?
Oh, my God.
So this is not just at Hop Jack's. Please, at all of our establishments, wear your pants.
Wear your pants.
That's all we ask of you, is please
totally
wear your pants.
Darn, that ruined my entire plan for the evening, you know?
But that's the funny thing about this industry is
you never know what you're going to get.
And there's a 1,000 people out there that said, yep, I've seen that.
So, like, I completely understand why that is on that sign right there.
Yeah. I can't wait. And I don't own a TV, so I don't. There may be a reality TV show out there one day, out there now of it. But one day when the real restaurant reality show comes up, you know, it's gonna have to be on like HBO.
Oh, definitely.
Well, you know, definitely. It sounds to me like a job for Foodie Life. I mean,
you're gonna
I think
have
to we're
kind of
starting it right here, man.
I want to host it.
Yeah, you know what? I would totally let you host it too.
I'll be all
you
over.
You got the personality for
Tony's
it.
Tony's like, we'll Keith, I've got your job, buddy. He's
Don't worry, you're
fired.
I just want the logo up there, baby.
He produces it. I host it. It'll be a good time because I show up with a party in my pants. That's why I don't show up without my pants on.
Where do you keep your salsa?
Yeah. You might spill salsa in places you don't want to spill salsa. So, all right. Well, look, you guys, we're getting close to time. So let's, I know, right? See, this is what happens. We all hang out. We start drinking beer. We have fun. Next thing you know, it's 6 a.m. And
this is the closest thing I've had to a break in weeks.
I know, right?
I know. So after this, where's the post game is the real question.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Well, for those of us that are competing in Eggfest, the post game tonight's going to be at the Hancock Club, right?
Absolutely. Going and getting laid by Joe.
Yeah. Are you guys really bringing the cool flowers?
I think so. I don't know. I have to ask my marketing director.
Okay. Yeah. Way to go. Way to put it on the spot. All right, you guys, so what do you got coming up that we haven't talked about yet that we need to let people know?
You know, what's on the calendar? There's so much stuff going on with us, you know, between new beers and the drink with the locals. All right, Renee, what's the...
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, that's why we brought her, Joe. That's why she's here.
Okay, so tonight, tonight, this Thursday, we're going to have both Props, who we've all tried and love the Blonde Bomber today on air. They're going to be there out with Aviator Brewing. There's going to be the Paper Airplane Contest at 9 o'clock. We're finally getting beer flights. You guys have asked for it. I know there's 112 beers on the wall. You can actually finally try different ones and, you know, like Joe said, not have to drink that whole one without getting
and that's
the
what we're drinking out of today,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So this is a flight glass, right?
This is a flight glass, yeah. It sounds like we've been drinking a ton of beers, but, you know, it's only little samples of, like I said, I don't want to drink a whole beer.
Which is cool because, like you just said, I'm able to, my ADD is satisfied. So.
right?
So if
it's
you want to
flavor ride.
Well, and it's going to be on our website, Twitter's, Facebook, and all that stuff too. So when you guys see the pictures and you see the glasses we're drinking out of, that's the flight glass. So.
Yeah. So Sunday at Pot Roast and Pino, it's pajama brunch. We always have our third Sunday.
You never want to get dressed on Sunday morning anyway.
Come in your pajamas and just.
But wear your pants.
Keep your pants on.
If you sleep naked, you might have to just throw some pajamas on.
Yep.
But we give you free mimosa to go with your brunch whenever you come out the third Sunday. You know, we have brunch every Saturday and Sunday, but we really like to have fun and get comfortable in your pajamas.
We don't take ourselves.
I dressed like a Jedi for brunch and didn't get free mimosas.
You went to the wrong place, man. That's what we're trying to tell you.
Yeah. The Tin Cow, you know, every Tuesday, we love our military. And so on Tuesdays, we are offering 10% off of your food purchases.
Cool.
And last but not least, next Friday, we really hope to see everybody out during gallery night. Come by Hop Jacks. Come meet the brewers who make these awesome local beers that we've all been drinking.
Yeah.
Great guys.
Yeah,
buy fresh, buy local.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Where are you going? You got a tasting when we're done here, don't you? No?
Always. No, actually, I'm preparing tonight. I got to get ready to get out of town.
Look in your local Whole Foods store. Coming soon.
There you go. Well, you know, that goes back to the whole buy fresh, buy local. It's every spot that I have it in here in Pensacola is a locally owned business. Everman's, Apple Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New York Knicks. You know.
Yeah.
Greer's over in Warrenton. These are all local places, and as my business grows and I go into bigger and bigger retailers, I always make sure I look out for the folks that were there from the beginning.
Yeah.
We got to support each other.
Yeah. It's easy to support with juice this good. I mean, that's the truth.
And that's
I love
it.
How you call it that, juice too.
Well, that was it though, man. When I first met Tony, he was like, look, I'm not even going to talk. Just taste this. That was it. It was taste this and then we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
You needed to be on the plane that I was on.
Yeah, I needed to be enlightened. I get it. When you get back from Montgomery and stuff, what else? You got anything else coming up? Because I know you're all over the place.
Normally, I'm doing a demo where you can actually come and try it. But I always tell people, it's so good. No need to try it. Just buy it. Everman's, Apple Market, a lot of times on Thursdays. And then, of course, the Palafox Market. If you haven't come out to the Palafox Market,
that's a fun
come out on Saturday. It's everything's handcrafted. You got a variety of stuff. from food to crafts and all kind of fresh produce from Florida and Alabama. And all the way at the top of the market, you got the world's best salsa hanging out partying.
Yeah.
We do salsa shots all Saturday morning. Salsa shots every Saturday.
Salsa shots.
All right, so give them your website where they can, or your Twitter, or give them all that good
stuff.
It's
Tony's-Tejas-Salsa. And Tejas is the Indian word for friend and Spanish word for Texas. And then Instagram is where I really party, have a good time. And it's Tony's-Tejas-Salsa on Instagram.
Yeah. All right. Give them the Hop Jack stuff, because there's no way I'm going to remember your entire calendar of events, because it is huge.
Okay, so definitely we are very active. We're lucky that we have a great social media manager. You can check us out. He tweets with Al Roker even, I think. But Hop Jack's
nice.
Hop Jack's,
who is in town too, by the way.
Yeah. I know, right? I'm surprised they didn't go have beers afterwards yesterday. but yeah, so www.hopjacks.com. Of course, check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Pot Roast and Pinot, we're very active on Facebook. Our website is a little tricky because there is no and symbol. It's just potroastpinot.com.
Nice.
And then the Tin Cow, of course, thetincow.com. We're active on Twitter, Facebook, and, you know, both Hop Jacks and the Tin Cow are open late. Our kitchen doesn't close before 2. So
Edible Invaders is our new family member, but edibleinvaders.com, great.
It's check cool out the people. Lionfish dip, yeah, man.
And we're starting to become a little more popular on Facebook with Edible Invaders. Start asking your local stores and, you know, your restaurants you like to go to start carrying the lionfish dip, because we definitely want to make an impact and save our reefs.
Awesome. All right, guys, and then I'm going to get all of these links and stuff posted on our site too. So you can find us at pensacola.businessradiox.com. You can find us on Facebook at Pensacola Business Radio, or you can find us on Twitter at PCola Radio X. I want to thank all three of you for hanging out.
My pleasure.
For the beer, for the salsa, for the seriously awesome stories. So
sexy pictures.
That's it, yeah. Right. Yeah, the pizzas and the strippers, my goodness. So, again, thanks for hanging out. And you guys, this has been Foodie Life Hour on Pensacola Business Radio. Mm-hmm.